How are we? How is this morning? A word? Give me a word. Two. Helpful.
Soft.
Soft.
Inspiring.
A little strengthening, maybe?
Yeah.
What was that?
Resolution.
Resolution. Good. Insightful. I'm hoping, of course, that we can gain a little confidence that it's not as scary as we thought, and we actually can handle it more than we thought we could, whatever that is. Which means more trusting. They're all tied up together, you know, whichever word, whichever, there's the hindrances, and the fifth hindrance is doubt. It's the opposite of trust. All the hindrances are the separate sense of me. When they're not there, I'm expanded. When I'm expanded, I'm friendly. When I'm friendly, I'm happy. There's metta. It's the way the Buddha described all these different pieces, they're all the same thing. It's all either we're struggling or not, free or not, awakened in this moment or in our little tight box, worrying, being busy. So we're going to move on from the steps, really. The experience of friendliness, the experience partly to be open to the difficult that comes up, but in general, befriending, being friendly, being kind, loving, is being open. It's being more open than being lonely, self-tight, concerned, anxious, busy. And that is what freedom is. Freedom is a freedom from the tight. That's what it means. It's not some other thing later. You know, to be awakened is to be awakened right here with all of this, awakened from feeling contracted and that we have to make it better. This, the desperate need of separate sense of self, SOS. And that is what friendliness is, and the lack of friendliness is the opposite. As we become friendlier in any moment with anything, some of you said things like helpful, resolution, things that happened this morning even, that shift from constriction to ease in whatever way, that's what metta means. That's what friendliness is and awakening is. And it feels better, doesn't it? And so when I use the word joy, joy is like the word love. It can be a bit of a setup. You know, you're looking for some really big thing called love, or big thing called joy, or big thing called enlightenment. Joy, as with all of those other words, as the Buddha described, freedom, openness is quieter and more subtle than what we project on it. A moment of being awakened, an enlightened moment, is quiet. You don't go rushing around shouting about it. Wow. It's not like that. Love, from the point of view of metta, connecting, is often silent connecting. It's like in those moments, nothing else needs to be done. There's nothing in the way now. And so for joy, joy is that's the sense of it's of that interconnection. This winter, every winter, well, pretty regularly, there's a group of singers on Salt Spring who get together and open to the public the Messiah before Christmas. And this year, I joined in, and I'd been in my own quiet retreat for several weeks, so I was fairly quiet. And I just went to sing. And there were a group of people from Victoria, and a choir leader, and, you know, an orchestra leader from Victoria, and some fabulous singers from Victoria, and then a group of singers from Salt Spring who'd been rehearsing some of it together, and then it was open to people. So there were 300 people in this community hall. And so I went in there, I rented a score, I went and joined the sopranos, and I sang the Messiah. And I hadn't done any rehearsing, and I couldn't follow all the trills, but, and it's very fundamentalist Christian language, But the joy was amazing of us all singing there together and everyone joining in, and we'd all dressed up and all these people had come on time, which is rare for the island, and it was like we were just up for this. It was so lovely. It was the connecting through the music. That's the friendly thing, not being in your own isolated thing, being connecting. Here's a quote. It's how I pick up these little quotes. It's a little quote. Alas, Oliver Wendell Holmes. I don't know who this is. Somebody should tell me. Somebody called Oliver Wendell Holmes. Alas for those who never sing and die with all their music left in them. Sweet. So we can't play together and sing together and open to each other when we're distressed. We have to take care of ourselves, soothe ourselves and calm ourselves and uplift ourselves and be able to tolerate the distress to some degree. Then it's possible. And that can change in a moment, you know, that we don't have to wait for ages to address our distress before we can be joyful. It happens quickly. But they do go in that sequence. And so that's why I'm wanting to teach it in the sequence. So then we can, it's okay to be vulnerable. Even just a group that we had this morning, a group of us, we were talking about struggles, of course, because that's what we were practicing with this morning. But there was this sweet being together part. That's right there in the midst of the being vulnerable part. Being able to be open. This is one of the reasons why the Buddha put dana as very high as a requisite to be able to meditate. We have to be able to be open enough to care and give our at least care and attention to each other. To be able to sit and be with ourselves and be quiet. If we aren't able to do that, we're sufficiently anxious that we won't be able to successfully train the mind, because it's just going to be trying to cope. So giving of just kind attention and whatever else manifests in practical terms from that is joyful. When we're able and when we feel moved to, in some way, expand, it feels lovely, doesn't it? So that's the joy of friendliness, that joy of connecting, the joy of being heard, the relief of not being turned in, expansive. And it's the same thing as freedom. Couple of little stories. You may have heard this one before. A man called Roberto de Vincenzo was very famous very briefly. From Argentina, he was a golfer and he was world famous once in like the 60s or 50s or something. Anyway, he received a check for having won a tournament. And smiling for the cameras, he went to the clubhouse, and then he got ready to leave, and sometime later he walked to his car in the car park, and as he was going there, a young woman approached him, and she congratulated him on his victory, and then she told him that her child was really seriously ill and near death. So he, touched by her story, took out a pen, and he endorsed his winning check, and he gave it to her. "Make some good days for your baby," he said, and pressed the check into her hand, and drove away. The next week he was having lunch in the country club where the PGA official came up to his table and said, "Some of the people saw you in the parking lot last week. They told me that a young woman met you there after you won the tournament." And he nodded. "Well," the official said, "I've got some news for you. She's a phony. She's not married. She has no sick baby. She fleeced you, my friend." So Vincenzo said, "You mean there is no baby who's dying?" "That's right," says the official. "That's the best news I've heard all week." Of other little things about a joyous heart or a heart. This is a biology writer, Brian Doyle. He's from the American Scholar. It's about hearts. It's about two creatures particularly, one the smallest heart, a hummingbird, and one whale. Each hummingbird visits 1,000 flowers a day. They can dive at 60 miles an hour. They can fly backwards, and they can fly more than 500 miles without pausing to rest. Each thunderous wild heart is the size of an infant's fingernail. To drive these, they have a ferocious metabolism, and to drive those metabolisms, they have race car hearts that eat oxygen at an eye-popping rate. Their hearts are built of thinner, leaner fibers than ours. Their arteries are stiffer and more taut. Their hearts are stripped to the skin for the war against gravity and inertia, the mad search for food and the insane idea of flight. The price of their ambition is a life closer to death. They suffer more heart attacks, aneurysms, and ruptures than any other living creature. It's expensive to fly. You burn out. You fry the machine. You melt the engine. Every creature on Earth has approximately 2 billion heartbeats to spend in a lifetime. You can spend them slowly like a tortoise and live to be 200 years old, or you can spend them fast like a hummingbird and live to be 2 years old. The biggest heart in the world is inside the blue whale. It weighs more than 7 tons. It's as big as a room. It is a room, with 4 chambers. A child could walk around inside it head high, bending only to step through the valves. The valves are as big as the swing doors in a saloon. The house of a heart, this house of a heart, drives a creature 100 feet long. There are perhaps 10,000 blue whales in the world. But we know this, these animals with the largest hearts in the world generally travel in pairs. So much held in a heart in a lifetime. So much held in a heart in a day, in an hour, in a moment. We're utterly open, with no one in the end, not mother, father, wife, husband, lover, child, or friend. We open windows to each other, but we live alone in the house of our heart. When we're young, we think there'll come one person who will savor and sustain us always. When we're older, we know this is the dream of a child, that all hearts finally are bruised and scarred and scored and torn and repaired by time and will, patched by force of character, yet fragile and rickety forevermore. No matter how ferocious the defense, how many bricks you bring to the wall, you can brick your heart up as stout and tight and hard and cold and impregnable as you possibly can, and down it comes in an instant, felled by a woman's second glance or child's apple breath, the shatter of glass in the road. Those words, I have something to tell you. A cat with a broken spine dragging itself into the forest to die, the brush of your mother's papery ancient hand in the thicket of your hair, the memory of your father's voice in the early morning echoing from the kitchen where he's making pancakes for his children. This is what we have inside us, these hearts. Beautiful, sensitive, vulnerable. So allowing ourselves to be these heartful, vulnerable people and be comfortable with all of the uncertainty. It's what happens as we meditate. We get truer, more in touch with what's really here. And as we do, we're able to share it. Because underneath the surface, where all the waves are, we're all in these vulnerable hearts, really. And part of why we meditate is because we want to get in touch with what's underneath and this truth of ourselves. But we also, by doing that, want to share it. You know, we don't want to do it so that we can be alone. So when the Buddha taught about the refuges of practice, the third of the refuges is Sangha, is to connect with other beings truthfully, deeply, honestly, kindly. And that's our, it's all of our urge, you know. It's naturally this. I began the weekend talking about that. So the teachings, the instructions on practicing heartfulness are given in terms of expansion, connection, openness, expansion from the separate self. And they've been taught over the years in different ways, and there's been quite some system to the way they've been taught and practiced. But the Buddha originally taught kindness to reassure, to allay fear. The fear inside a group of monks who were afraid to be practicing in a particular part of the forest, but also to reassure the beings in the forest who were scaring them and spooking them, because the beings were afraid of these monks coming to live in their forest. The Buddha had said to these group of people, this is a really great forest to go and practice for a period of time. And so off you go to this area. He gave them directions and off they went. When they got there, they started being spooked by the spirits in the trees, because the spirits apparently didn't want them there. They were happy to have them there overnight. But when they sort of settled in for the rains retreat, they didn't want them. And so they began to make them scared. But it's because they themselves were scared, apparently. So they went, the monks all went plodding back to the Buddha. I don't know how far that was, but it was a long way. And the Buddha said, it is still a good place. There are still a community of people nearby who'll feed you. There's clean water. It's a good place. And how you deal with these spooked spirits in the trees is you offer kind wishes to them. And when you offer kind wishes to them, they will be grateful. They will feel cared for and loved, and then they won't be spooking you back, and then you won't feel afraid. And so whether there were spirits in the trees or whether they were making up their fear, it doesn't matter. By being kind, the fear was antidoted and it wasn't there, and they had a happy time in their retreat thereafter. That was the beginning of the teachings of kindness, to allay fear, to expand the sense of self beyond the small one to a slightly larger one, which reduces the fear. It's like simple as that. It's mechanics almost. And so I sat a retreat last April with Analio, Venerable Bhikkhu Analio, one of the most brilliant scholar monks that we have these days. Some of you may have heard of the book Satipatthana, Blue Book. He wrote that book. That was his PhD thesis. Brilliant scholar. And sweet, sweet heart. And very dedicated practitioner. Very inspiring. And he taught us a way of being, practicing metta, which I want to share a little bit, where he said, having done the preliminaries which we've done for the weekend, come into the present moment with yourself and your body, tune into whatever qualities you have been with or you would like in your experience. Maybe peacefulness, maybe contentment, maybe gratitude, maybe joy, maybe playfulness, whatever you choose. It's all good, doesn't matter. Choose. And one by one, invite them into your experience. Feel the sense of them. That's just what we've been doing. And then imagine them moving way out beyond you. Imagine them moving in front of you. So let's do this. Take one of your ones you've been inviting for yourself. Invite it. Savor. He uses the word savor a lot. Savor the experience of what that may be. I'm going to say peaceful. Peaceful, peaceful. Feeling peaceful, noticing the effect of peacefulness in your mind, in your heart, in your shoulders, across your brow. Peaceful. In your breathing, peaceful. Maybe in your imagination, maybe visually, doesn't matter. Peaceful. And now, just imagine, you're using imagination for peacefulness to be moving beyond you forward. Forward, forward. And you're not pushing it or sending it or making it happen. You're just imagining there being an opening in front of you, and more opening and more and further opening. Nothing impeding peacefulness from moving in front of you. And our job is to remove any possible limit or block to peacefulness moving forward. Just the way light streams out forward when you uncover it. Whomever, whatever is in front, will be touched by this beam, peacefulness. And what we'll see is that we put the limits on it. And so remove the limits. No need to discriminate, to stop that happening, no one to be excluded. Peacefulness just endlessly, boundlessly streaming out. Not pushing out, just open. Boundless peacefulness forwards. And then just imagine who might be there, what might be there, peacefulness being affected. Did you encounter some worms as you walked outside? Birds. People coming home from Sunday church. Peaceful. Boundless peacefulness forward of you. And how about behind you? The same thing. You're not sending it anywhere. You don't even know who's behind you. Let yourself feel open and let peacefulness that's in you, that you invite into you, peaceful, that feeling, peaceful, relaxed, calm, peaceful, to just open yourself up and let it just stream out behind you, just like light. And let it stop at nothing and no one. Remove all boundaries. Don't let there be any limit to this streaming peacefulness moving out behind you. Allowing whatever beings might be there be affected. And make that stream of light be a broad, wide light. And then to your right, come into your peacefulness inside yourself, however you can access it. Doesn't have to be extreme, just a little bit of peace is good. And then feel yourself open all around the right side of you. So you're uncovering a light and let it move outwards from you as light moves. Fast and utterly easily. And everything to the right of you have peace shining over it, washing over it, lighting it. With no limits whatsoever, no boundary to the movement, expanding, vast, peaceful. Vast, vast, peaceful. And then back inside to yourself and now moving to your left. Opening up curtains, as they were, or coverings on the light of this feeling of peacefulness and just allowing it to float out free, shine out way, 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 way vast to the left, all areas of the left. Peaceful. Not making it happen with no agenda, no trying, just allowing completely. Just not getting in the way in any way. Peaceful. Then the same upwards to the skies. This peaceful feeling inside you. Let there be no covering on top of you, on top of your head. Let this just be an opening that allows peacefulness to float upwards to the skies, far, far, no stopping it, no limit, boundless, vast, open space. Peaceful, expansive. And then, one last time, down to below us in the earth. Whatever there may be down in the earth, peaceful, opening, allowing. Upwards to the skies, downwards to the depths, open. Expanding our awareness, removing all boundaries that keep us with a sense of separateness. And then let's take a second one, another one. Somebody say a word. It's another one that you're doing, that you're inviting for you. What was that?
Gratitude.
Okay, I got gratitude. So feeling grateful. Blessed and grateful. Inviting it up. Grateful. Grateful. Savoring what that is, experiencing a taste of it, a bit of a sense of what that is, how that affects you, grateful. Grateful. And this time in front of us, as if opening a curtain, revealing the light of being grateful. And just let it stream open, out, wide, far, far, far. Grateful. It's not your personal gratitude. It's not a personal feeling. Vast, huge, open, with no boundary. Grateful, moving, flowing, floating, beaming, radiating, grateful. Remove any limit. We impose limits. Keep out of the way. Nothing to stop. Grateful. Thankful. And to the right this time, opening your curtain as if you're opening a circular curtain. Open it further to the right. Let this light stream way out beyond to the right. Vast, boundless, just unimpeded. We don't have to try and go far with it. Just don't let it stop at anything. It will go as far as it goes. And further to the right, to the back right, keep opening your circular curtain back till you're going wide out behind you. Sense of expanding way behind you, to the right and fully behind you. And let that savor of gratefulness. Grateful, we're blessed. Move way out. And keeping going around to the back left and around to the left. Open, radiating gratefulness. Grateful, feeling grateful in wide, 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 wider way. And then opening up above us, high up, open, unlimited, grateful flow outwards. Beam. Being experienced by any beings who happen to be above us. Anywhere, any kind of being. Moths and bats and angels and devas and migrating geese, whatever. Flies. And down below, similarly, opening ourselves to an expanse way beyond our normal small confines. So continue in this way yourselves. Invite, savor, get a sense of somehow how it affects you, some wholesome state what you've been with this weekend or some other one, someone else's. And just experiment with this opening, allowing in your own rate, your own time. And as you do this in this way, but keep tuning into how you have a sense of yourself as you do this and how expanded you can experience that. So it's not just imaginary in your head, but there's some effect on your system, and know that effect. Lightening, expanding, softening, widening effect. Continue like this. And do it lightly and gently and easily and enjoy it. It's just a sweet kindness. Rather than putting out animosity or doubt, let's just put out these wholesome states. Let them be available. Sharing, caring. Because it's powerful, this kind of opening, very powerful, effective. Carry on. haven't deliberately avoided talking about people. I talked about birds and worms. But actually, it can also include people. So you can have in front of you or to your right side your friend, your partner, your child, your old mum. And let your well-being in whatever way it is flow all over them too. It's giving, but in the most gentle, natural way. Not so much a doing giving, but a sharing, opening giving. So include your dear ones, include those people you even get hung up with. Don't stop letting your friendliness or peacefulness move over and through anyone, anything, any being. All beings benefit from these wholesome states. We all love them, want them, crave them, need them. They are who we all are naturally. So be as inclusive as you like. Don't exclude anyone or anything as you practice.